The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Best steps to deal with being overwhelmed or anxious or just struggling with the challenges of life. Well, from years of personal and professional practice, Dr. Clodagh Campbell, psychologist, host of the Unspoken podcast and the wellness psychologist on Instagram, has come up with 10 steps to help find calm and inner peace. Her new book is called The Steps, and it aims to take the reader not just through the 10 steps, but also through Clodagh's personal journey. And Clodagh Campbell is with me now. Clodagh, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
You're a very busy woman.
I am.
You're telling me, on top of your practice and your podcast and your Instagram and all the rest, three little girls.
How lucky I am.
How lucky you are, but as I say, hands full. Now, what is the book aimed to do? I gave a kind of an overview of it, but what was your intent in writing the book?
So, Pat, as a psychologist and somebody who has sat across from so many people in the therapy room, I am time and again asked how. How do I quieten that inner critic in my head? How do I navigate these marital difficulties that I'm having at home? How do I navigate this grief that is crippling me? How do I calm my anxiety, the stress and overwhelm, Clodagh? How do I manage that? And I suppose therapy is amazing. I'm such a huge advocate for it, but it's hard to access, isn't it? You need time. Often you need money. There's long waiting lists. And I just feel so passionate about supporting people that are sitting at home asking that how question.
So you have the 10 steps we'll talk about in a moment, but you think this book should be on the bedside table.
This is what I'm coining it, your new bedside Bible. So my wish for the book is people will read it, they will engage in it, but then they'll leave it on their bedside locker. And when they've had a hard day, when they have had 100 emails and haven't been able to even get through 5, when they've had a fight with their daughter or their husband or their friend, when they just need comfort and when they need something to turn to, that they reach for the book and it's there for them.
Now, some of the things that you promised to help people do are quite difficult. Regulate your nervous system.
Yes.
That's step 3.
Yes. So, Pat, I will never forget. I had this gorgeous client, this beautiful woman. She was at the top of her game, really well known. She was winning at life. And she was coming to me saying, I'm so overwhelmed, Clodagh, and I just don't have a life. It is work, work, work. And I'm chasing my tail. What do I do? And I sat with her and I said, you need to learn how to regulate your nervous system. And she said, what does that even mean, Clodagh?
Exactly. That's my question.
Yes. What does that even mean? And we should be taught this in school. And I think the education system is getting better at this. But this is the whole purpose of the book, that I can talk to people and explain exactly how to do these things. So with our nervous system, we have a vagus nerve, and it's responsible for bringing us back from fight or flight to rest and digest. So if we learn how to tap into our vagus nerve and how to strengthen it, to calm ourselves down, and the more we do it, the faster and better we become at it, it works magic. And it's literally, there's small, simple things you can learn to do. And the book talks you through all of them. You know, I really wanted it to be meaningful, tangible, actionable things that people can do, you know, whether they're sitting on the couch, whether they're in bed, and that they can do when they're in studio with you, Pat, or whether they're in the school line in the morning, you know, and thinking, I need to get to work, whether it's sitting down to the 100 emails, things that people can bring home with them and actually do.
Step 2, we're going backwards kind of. I started with step 2. Step 2 is calm the chaos of your mind.
Yes.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, it's so relatable, isn't it? The chaos of our busy modern lives.
Too many things.
We are all juggling all of the balls, myself included. You know, as you said, I have work, I have 3 little girls, I have a husband who often gets neglected. So it's about thinking, what can I do to calm myself amidst the busyness and the rat race and the keeping up with the Joneses? You know, when I am trying to get to a meeting at a particular time, or when I have literally 1 minute to take a breath in between meetings because our meetings can roll back to back these days. Yeah. What can I do to calm myself? Because we're all living such overwhelmed lives. And then it leads us to burnout, doesn't it? And then we're fighting with our partner. We're at home feeling really low on ourselves, thinking things are never going to change.
One of the other things you talk about is silencing your inner critic. And we're not talking about bitching about somebody next door or in the office. It's about your criticism of yourself.
Do you ever, and Pat, I'll ask you this question, because sitting with you now, you have such a gorgeous, calming energy and presence, and it's like your radio show is not a bother to you. But do you ever criticise yourself? Do you ever spill coffee down your shirt and think, oh, for God's sake, Pat?
Yeah, of course you do. You know, you do things that, why did I do that? I mean, often it's more kind of maybe slightly serious things. If I hadn't been late for that meeting, I mightn't have had that little tip in the car. You know, how could I do that? What a stupid thing to do.
Yes, and thank you for sharing your honesty, because we all do it every single day, don't we? And we get so familiar with it that we don't actually even realise. We're criticising ourselves, we're berating ourselves. And I have a gorgeous exercise in the book, and it's really simple. Write down, even for an hour, all of the times you criticise yourself. Write it down on paper and read back over it and think to yourself, would I ever say half of this to anybody else in my life? And you very quickly, you might not think it, but you very quickly realise how you're speaking to yourself when you start to pay attention to it. But then I also go a step further to how to banish that inner critic, how to quieten it.
How many people come to you who have problems with their own self-worth? They have no confidence because they don't think they're, maybe it's imposter syndrome as well. Why am I doing this?
You know, this answer might surprise you, but every single person I talk to struggles in some way with their self-worth. And I think in today's society, we are almost fed into belief that we're not good enough. We're seeing these images in magazines. We're seeing all these things of people achieving and doing. And we almost wear our busyness in life as a badge of honour these days, don't we? So people really struggle with their self-worth. We feel like we're not worthy. We're not of value. We're not doing enough. We're not enough as a person.
Cultivate connections. Now, you know, we talk about connections all the time in this program, whether it's, you know, trying to keep older people in good shape by keeping their connectivity with the outside world going. We'll be talking about how connectivity can actually delay the onset of Alzheimer's, all these kind of things. What do you advise on connections and connectivity?
So I know for myself, when I am struggling in some way, I go very insular. I go and sit on the couch by myself and really try to manage it all alone. And that's very familiar to a lot of people. And it's almost shame-based, I think. I don't want to tell people that I'm struggling because how will they perceive me? They'll see it as a weakness. They'll see me in a particular light. So it's about connecting with people in our lives. And that can be with ourselves, you know, going inwards and checking in, how am I doing today? It can be connecting with your other half. It can be connecting with friends. And it's also about doing things that bring you joy. You know, how often do we actually prioritize joy in our lives? So it might be you, Pat, thinking, I would love to bring my wife out for a date tonight because, you know, we've been passing ships in the night. Or actually, maybe I'll talk to her about how I've been feeling because it's hard and it's lonely.
Honour your boundaries. Now, this is very interesting. In the book, you give an example of, you tell a child, don't do that because I don't want you to do that. On the other hand, you say, now you shouldn't do that because that's not what people like us do.
Mm. Boundaries are difficult to uphold, aren't they? Mm. I think everybody listening will relate to this because all of my clients come in and often it could be with their mother or their mother-in-law or their children or their other half. You know, their other half snaps at them and they say, don't speak to me in that way. But actually, that's a request. That's not a boundary. And it's very easy when we're with their children to say, I'm not going to allow you to hit your sister in that way. So I'm going to literally hold your hands because we don't hit other people. It's very hard to do that with your boss or with your partner or with your mother-in-law. Hi, Pauline, if you're listening. Yeah, so boundaries and people-pleasing. Mm. People-pleasing will be so relatable for a lot of people as well. We say yes, don't we, when we want to say no. So it's giving yourself permission and even maybe planning, what am I going to say in advance of the meeting where my boss asks me to take on the tasks of everyone else on the team because they know I'll do it? You know, it's giving yourself permission to say no and to put the boundaries in place. But rather than ask a request of other people, it's actually setting the boundary. And
it's a very interesting area because people in authority do ask the competent ones to do things. And the competent ones are the ones who then appear to fall short if they say no, whereas the incompetent ones, I wouldn't ask them to do it. They're useless.
And the competent ones are the ones that are headed for burnout, if not already there. Yeah. And that's a really hard place to be. And that's why I wrote the book, for the people that are feeling that way.
The final step, and I mean, the book is so comprehensive, we're only touching the surface of it here. Accept what is.
Mm.
Now, what do you mean by that?
So often we try to change things in our lives, don't we? We try to control things. We try to quieten our inner critic. We try to quieten the anger that we're experiencing. We try to push aside our emotions. I spoke to a reporter recently, and she said that she struggled with anxiety all her life. And her mom used to buy her every single self-help book there was. We sat down for an interview and she said, "I hate self-help books." Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, oh God, this is not going to go well. But she said to me, "I tried to control my anxiety for my whole life. And it didn't really work. Actually, what we need to do is accept what we're experiencing and make room for it and make space for it and work with it, because that relieves the pressure." And if in the book, I talk you through the steps of how to actually achieve that, because, you know, when I'm saying that now, people are thinking, but how do I do that? That's really hard.
But you've also been there yourself, because you write extensively in the book. It comes up again and again how you were adopted and how that impacted on you all your life, even though you obviously accepted, know it. Your parents are wonderful, where your dad has passed, but wonderful people.
Mm.
And yet that, in spite of all of that, it's a constant with you.
Yes. And I almost think, in a way, I wrote the book for myself, for that teenage girl that was really struggling and really wanted the steps to how to know how to navigate this, to how to let go and release the shame, to how to navigate the grief. And like that reporter that I mentioned with her anxiety, you know, it was very hard for me to accept a lot of kind of what had transpired in my life and how I was feeling. So I wrote the book for myself in a way too, as well as all of the people that I hope will hold it in their hands and read it. And just like that reporter said to me, I hated self-help books, but Clodagh, your book changed that for me. It's the first self-help book that I didn't feel talked down
to. I mentioned all the things you do, including your private practice, but a previous job was in the prison service.
Yes, it was.
I mean, why did you do that? Why did that attract you as a job?
You know, there's a reason that all the crime podcasts are number one nowadays, isn't there? People are fascinated with prisons and with crime. And as a psychologist, I was really fascinated with what led people to, you know, find themselves within the prison walls. But also, I felt so alone in my struggles when I was a teenager. I imagined that actually the prison is the loneliest place to be. So I loved it. I did group therapy, I did individual therapy, and actually, it was good crack a lot of the time, you know. It's a hard environment to be in, but at the end of the day, it was almost like being in a classroom with, you know, these men that were talking about their favourite biscuits in Love Island. You know, one time I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, I snuck in ice cream for my group when they were graduating. And they thought I was the best thing that had ever happened to them because they hadn't had ice cream in so long. And of course, I'm not excusing, you know, any of the things that people do that lead them to prison. But a lot of people that I worked with were suffering from really deep traumas that they had experienced. So, yeah, that was a really interesting time in my life, and it absolutely shaped where I'm working now.
Well, the book is fabulous. It's called The Steps. It's published by Gill Books, and it's subtitled The Lessons from Therapy on Healing, Finding Calm and Creating Lasting Inner Peace. And its author, Dr. Clodagh Campbell. Clodagh, thank you very much for joining us in the studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.